Happy to be out tonight. Let's all stand, if you will. Stand before him in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate you. Lord, we appreciate an opportunity, Lord, together. Lord, to praise your wonderful holy name, Lord. For all you've done for us, Lord, it's just amazing. Lord, I appreciate it with all my heart. And Lord, we do, Lord, appreciate the opportunity together, Lord, to hear thy word and sing a few praises unto you for what you've done for us. The very least we could do, Lord, is give our life to you, praise you, thank you. Lord, be a thankful people for all the blessings you bestowed on us. Lord, just ask you to bless this service. Everything that's said and done be for your glory, your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated if you like. I'd like to try a little song on page 693. Be a little tricky, we'll learn it together. It's the wrong page. The more that I surrender, amen, the lighter my load. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my care, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Sing it again. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. And it gets easier to understand this road I'm traveling down. No more wavering or wandering, I'm standing on solid ground. And I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours, Lord. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the problems I had on yesterday are mere stepping stones to a higher place. The trials that seem so awesome to me are now my banner of victory. And I know I'm headed to my future home, and the voice I hear is yours, O Lord. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, myself. Lord, you lift me up every day I live. Lord, I love you more. Amen. Is that the truth?
Yes, it is.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. Hallelujah. It's so true. The more that I release my cares, the more he can take control.
Amen.
The more that I humble myself, amen, learned that over the years, the more he can lift you up. Every day I live, I pray I live more for him. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Let's just turn to page 254. Same book. Love us, Lord. Amen. Beautiful star of Bethlehem. Listen to the words in this song. Amen. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light to those who long have gone, and guiding the wise unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the shine on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. and shine on us. Lead us safely to that home. Amen. I'd like to sing this little song again on our loose leaf. Amen. Magnify the Lord with me. Amen. Just listen to the words in this song. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. Amen. I'm sure every one of us has sought Him. We got so much to magnify Him over. Amen. And for. Amen. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from every fear. The look on Him, all radiant, they'll never be ashamed, they'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me, and saved me from my enemy. The Son of God surrounds His saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together.
Never ending praise.
Oh, taste and see, amen, that the Lord is good. He'll give you everything. He'll give you everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we praise your wonderful name. Lord, you've done so much for us, Lord. Lord, may we lift our hands and exalt you and praise you. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. Lord, we can give you. Lord, I love and appreciate you. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, you're so good. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he that who hides in him. Is that the truth?
Yes, amen.
Oh, fear the Lord, all ye saints. He'll give you everything.
Yes.
Amen. And he has. Been so good to us, saints. Amen. Just love and appreciate him. Never fail to praise him. Never fail to glorify him. Amen. It don't have to be at church. Every day you get out of bed. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Amos, would you take up the offering? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly you are worthy of all praise. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for that grace and mercy in our lives, Lord. We do love and appreciate you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity you've granted to us. Lord, once more together on your precious word, Lord, our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Truly, it's a wonderful opportunity, Lord. We won't take one time for granted. Lord, we just ask that as your word comes forth, Lord, may
yes.
our hearts and minds be open to receive
yes,
what you
amen.
Have for us this day, Lord. May it find that good ground is our prayer. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering.
Yes.
Lord, let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Commit all into your hands. We ask it in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. His love has no limit. His grace has no Amen. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no bound or reason known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he request.
Heavenly Father, Lord,
hallelujah.
So thank you, Lord, your grace and your mercy, Lord, in our lives. We can look back and look at our lives as it comes up through the years.
Yes.
Father, we see your guiding hand. Father, you're drawing us, wooing us, Lord, into your word. And Father, we see that desire burning in our hearts to fulfill your word. Lord, what a confirmation that does.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, Lord, we know it's from you. Lord, we praise your holy name. Lord, the needs on the people's hearts tonight. Ask that you would just touch everyone. Lord, meet their individual needs, Lord. And may their faith raise up, Lord,
yes.
to be able to claim that which is already paid for. It's already done, Lord. It's ours, Lord. It's our meeting.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord. Have your way and remain in the service, Lord. Bless the brother who brings thy word. May your will be done in everything we ask.
Yes.
In the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. His love has no memory. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he seated. This time we'll ask anybody if they got a song they want to sing. A special? Anybody know? Mom?
There are circumstances that arise in our lives, many situations we must face. And in all the trials and tests, Satan tries to do his best to make us reason God's word away. But if we can just stop, let that word come to our minds, each decision that we make will be right. And though it comes against our flesh, dear Lord, it's for the best. So we need to feel a touch from you today. We need a little touch, Lord, and everything's all right. With a little touch, Lord, we'll be able to make it through these perilous times. With the just feel your touch, we know we can make it. With just a little touch from you, we know we are living in such perilous times. Satan's going throughout the land. He'll try to take your mind with all the cares of life. He's deceiving all he can. When we come into the temple and hear your precious word, that's the source from which our strength will be renewed. And though the battle's raging hot, dear Lord, it matters not. If I can only feel a little touch from you, just a little touch, Lord, and everything's all right. With a little touch, Lord, I'll be able to make it through these perils. endless times. With the mountain so high, the valley so low, if I can just feel your touch, I know I can make it with just a little touch from you. With the mountain so high, the valley so low, if I can just feel your touch, I know I can make it with just a little touch from you.
Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. Footprints of Jesus. We're just following. Amen. Footprints of Jesus. Leading the way. Footprints of Jesus. By night and by day, and if I would follow, my life would be sweet.
To sing that chorus, the verse that goes with that. They led to Bethany. That's where he stayed. They led to Gethsemane. That's where he prayed. Just bow our heads. Lord, we are truly grateful for every opportunity that we get to come and gather here, Lord. Lord, the price that you've paid for us and done, how great you are. And how little we feel, Lord, when we come into your presence. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that you ever mindful of us, Lord, and you know what we have need of. And Lord, you can see the path that lays before us. And Lord, how each time we gather in here, Lord, maybe at the time the word is coming forth, sometimes, Lord, maybe we don't fully see the end or the results, but Lord, you know the next step we're going to take. And Lord, you're preparing a people to be caught away in the moments of a twinkling of an eye. And Lord, she's following your footsteps. And Lord, we just humbly ask that this evening, as we've gathered one more time, the few words you've laid upon our hearts to speak, that Lord, some way it would strengthen someone, help someone along life's way. Lord, that we would be closer drawn to you, Lord. And Lord, maybe give our lives a little greater to your plan. And we ask it all to your glory and to your honor, Lord. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.
Footprints of Jesus leading the way. Footprints of Jesus by night and by day. If I would follow, my life would be sweet. Following Jesus and his wounded feet.
Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. That he's leading the way. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's turn our Bibles back over to 1 Peter in the second chapter. Would like to continue my little thought there from last Sunday evening. Kind of finish up some quotes and things we had. Amen. So thankful that we serve a living God. Amen. It's a wonderful time to serve the Lord, but a sober and a serious time, saints, as our pastor has been showing us. There in 1 Peter, the second chapter in the 9th verse, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May the Lord add the blessings of his word, and you may be seated. While you still got your Bibles handy, I'm going to turn back into Exodus, if you'd like to read with me, in Exodus, the 12th chapter, to kind of bring some of this back to light as before we read these next few quotes that the Lord's laid upon our hearts. And, you know, as I was thinking of our pastor this morning, as God has impressed upon his heart the things he's been bringing. And, you know, there's many things in God's Word that we can... You know, I'm sure many people gathered in churches this morning and spoke about that land that we're going to. And they probably talked about all that's waiting on us. And they might have talked about all the wonderful things the prophet done back in his healing campaigns. But everything has a time and its place, saints. And you must remember, God is watching over a little bride. And maybe sometimes we might get in our own minds that, oh, I wish we had this kind of a preaching over here. But someday, if the Lord should tarry, and I believe he will, not much time longer, you're going to be thankful, so thankful, for the seriousness of the word that God has led us here for, and the sobering effect that it has on our lives. You know, I was thinking as we're going to read this here, God speaking to Moses. And you know, Moses knew what God had promised the children of Israel. And Moses knew what lay where they were headed. And Moses knew all God had showed him. But this night when God went down and told him, and Moses took this message down to the people in Israel, there was a soberness in his heart and a seriousness. And I want you to notice how God always leaves direct directions as we read this. And pay attention to that. That God is a God of preciseness, as our pastor has even said it, and how God leaves nothing unturned. And he makes sure that the direction that we need to go is laid out before us 100%. And how is God here in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, the first verse, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house make it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on two sides of the post, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night and roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, and his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all of the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it to a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And how, what a sobering effect that had on everybody that heard that message that night in Egypt. And you know, you've got to stop and think about it. We've read that, we've heard that. But it was a reality in that day, saints. That death angel was going to pass through the land. And they knew that it was going to smite the firstborn. And when Moses took that message down to them people, he was giving them exactly what God had laid on his heart to give them. It wasn't joyous. I'm sure there wasn't a shout in the camp, "Oh, wow, my." No, at that time it was probably very sobering to think, "Oh, I better make sure." The preciseness that was there. And in the heart of those little elected and those believers, how they were reaching and making sure that it was done precisely to the way God laid it out. And this is just a type and a shadow. This was their day. This happened then, and God got the glory from every situation. But now it's our day today. And there's another exodus fixing to take place of a little bride that's fixing to walk off this earth. But she's got to be marching precisely in tune with God's word. And when we see, as our brother brought this morning, the seriousness of how close it can be when you think of how it was the exact word that was quoted back to Eve. And when we, in a day where we have so much word and there's so much abundance of preachers preaching the word, us brothers, sisters gathering around talking about the word, quoting it back to someone, you know, look at the seriousness that should be in our hearts to make sure that as an individual, that when I'm telling a brother something, I make sure that I know what I'm telling him is the truth. Each of us together with sincerity, we should hold this word so sincere in our hearts. But as I read this last Sunday, just to kind of catch us back up, this is, it was in the message God talked to Moses, preached August 31st, 53. And Brother Branham had just said at paragraph 15, all those types of old where they were just shadows of things that was to come. And I believe that was the church natural. The Jewish church was brought out of Egypt to Palestine, was the natural church, God's natural people who had natural law. But we today are God's spiritual church with a spiritual law written on the tables of our hearts and led in a spiritual form. Now they looked up to see where the pillar of fire was, the angel of the Lord, but we don't look today. There's just something that happens that we know he's there. And all day they were the people of God. Israel down in Egypt were the people of God until they come out of Egypt and started towards the promised land. And then they became the church of God. And the word church means called out. I love that. Separated ones. God said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work that I have called them." And the churches today, many of them are looking for mixers. Somebody who can mix, maybe do a little of this and a little of that, a little recreation and golfing, maybe a few parties and so forth. And the world is looking for good mixers. But God is looking for separators, for those who will separate themselves, come out from among them, my people, that you be not partakers of their sins. And I want you to think about that. Here he was talking about parties and things, but look at the closeness that's come to in this day. How it's okay, they only don't believe one word. They only disagree with that. Why don't we just keep mixing? We're all one. That's what Balaam tried to tell them. That's what caused the problems in Israel for Moses. we're all the same. Why don't we just continue together? But, and they made light that, oh, they just don't believe that. They just don't believe this. They made light of it. But God's word is very serious, and it's cut and dry. There's only two ways you're headed. There's only two roads. Yeah. Which one are we going to choose? There's not, you can't walk halfway up this one and halfway up that one. You've got to go one or the other. And that's where we're living today, saints. That's why this word is so serious. As we're coming down to the closing moments of time, there's no choice. There's no chance to grab a few things of Egypt and try to get on up out into the land. But it's got to be one or the other, a complete separation to Jesus Christ and the word alone. As he says here, he says, in Egypt, when the lamb was offered, God made a difference. He separated the Israelites from the Gentiles and made a difference in them. And God's people is a separated people, a holy nation, a peculiar people, odd and strange acting. So the world will never understand you. Just don't think about the world. Think about God. That's the main thing. And how we see that, saints, it's so fitting for this age in which we live. How that we love. I've got two brothers that I would love to have sit here with us. And I know each one of you has got family that you would love to be able to give them this word. Whether they was in a church or whether they're not in church, you would love to give them what you've got. But it doesn't matter. They've got to come God's provided way. And you can't we can't accept their unbelief or mix with their unbelief just because we want fellowship with them or just because we want them to be part of us. But God is looking for a people that's sold out to Him. And each person that's into that called out church, not just this group here, but that called out church of His that's going to be that precious bride, they've got to everyone come exactly the way that He's predestinated for them to come and called them to this walk with Him. Amen. They can't take man's ideas and creeds. We can't walk with what we think it is, but we've got to walk with what God said it was and what that vindication does through our lives. This is in the message, Pardon, preached October 28, 1963. Back in the time, brother of Israel, when Israel had to kill the lamb and had to place the blood upon the lintel or on the doorpost, God required that. That token must be there no matter what other position them men might have showed that they were circumcised Israelites. They might have confessed that we believe every word that Jehovah says, but that didn't expel it. They had to display that token. The blood must be shown. And we've sat here, saints, for many years, and some of us maybe in other churches, maybe we've sat in denominations, we've come through many things. And the seriousness of, we sat here and we say we believe. And we believe Brother Branham was a prophet, we believe the word that we've been taught, but has it truly been revealed to us that it's not just a statement that we're making, but there's a life that can come forth from it, and something that holds us steadfast, that we're not that person that's tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. And how we see this happening all around us. There's no true evidence that there's a token on display. And as that day, that blood had to be seen, not just by the people within the house, but as Brother Branham said in the token, every passerby had to see that that was on the doorpost shining forth. Amen. Brother Branham goes on, he says, that's the way it is tonight. I believe that every Christian has to display the blood of Jesus Christ that's cleansed them from the things of the world regardless. Now in that time, the token must be on the door. It must be there regardless of how religious the house was and how we need to listen to this. It don't matter. Our brother said, you know, he's told us he's got a message the Lord's laid upon his heart. We don't know what that is, but maybe we've heard parts of it before. But when we sat here and said, oh, I've already got that, he must be going to bring that for so-and-so or so-and-so over there. And maybe we missed the nugget that we needed to clinch the nail for us. So many times, people, you can see it when people begin to minister. And maybe it's a younger minister, and they get up and they begin to bring the word. And they're bringing the word and the truth. And you can see older people that are more experienced at back. And, yeah, they just let it go over them. I already got what he's got. But God, just think of that when Jesus Christ began to teach at 12 years old in the temple. When God sends a gift, a true gift, it doesn't matter. When God begins to speak, we better be listening. It don't matter how old that person is or how young that person is or where we sit. We better take heed to God's word. Amen. Amen. And always remember that anytime God's word begins to speak, we better be listening with full intent. Amen. Making sure that, Lord, don't let me miss one thing that's brought. Amen. I imagine in Israel there was some that may have had that attitude. But oh my, maybe they didn't have children. Their firstborn was older, but it still didn't matter. The firstborn of all, and how they should have taken heed. Amen. Because the token must be on the door, it must be there, regardless of how religious the house was, how religious the people was, how well they had brought up their children, how fine they attended church, how well they displayed all the things that God had said. It's still at that last hour where it showed between death and life, the blood had to be displayed. And the blood showed that an innocent substitute had been taken in the place of the worshiper. In the chemistry of the blood, the red blood itself was a sign on the door. That house was safe under that blood, and that was a type. Now, in these last days, we're coming back again to the hour of God delivering his church. I believe it. And as certain as the blood had to stand for a memorial, so does the token have to be. It's required today. For now, they could take the chemistry of the blood of the Lord Jesus and place it. For now, they could not take the chemistry of the blood of the Lord Jesus and place it upon every heart's door. But you see, that time an animal died, which was a lamb. And to show that animal was dead, the blood was on the door. And so the life that was in that animal could not come back upon that worshiper because the animal doesn't have a soul. But the life that was in that animal could not come back upon the worshiper. But today, when the blood of God's own Son was shed at Calvary for our pardoning and our release, the life that was in that blood was God himself. And the Holy Spirit returns upon his church. And upon his believer, and it's a token in the last days that he will pass over that man or woman that's accepted the death of Jesus Christ as their substitute. Amen. And what did Brother Branham say if that same life had returned? How many times did he type that? If the life of Beethoven lived in you, the works of Beethoven you would do. The simplicity of God, but so many have tried to make him so complicated. But the simplicity, just take it the way God said it. And if we'll apply it in that way, we'll know exactly where we're standing today. It'll show us exactly if we know that blood's been applied and on our doorpost. We can have that assurance and rest in knowing that I must keep following him exactly. But what an assurance we can have in this late hour by knowing and looking. But that life has to be displayed. And if it's not being displayed, then I should be the one that's getting majorly concerned and really being worried that, Lord, something's missing. Because that day is coming as a thief in the night. We know we're getting close. We don't know how long it'll be. But we know we're getting close to the appearing of the Lord.
Amen.
He says, but let's see here. We'll pass over that, accepted the death of Jesus Christ as their substitute. And the Holy Spirit bears record. You might say, I've accepted it, and you still live in the world, and you still live like the world. Then there's no evidence that that life was for you until the evidence of the Holy Spirit has struck into your life. And how each one of us, that's why God has given us this opportunity to come and to sit where we sit, and the messages come. And sometimes, maybe to the flesh, they're not what we call joyous. Maybe they're not what we call, refreshing, jumping, shouting message. But it's a message that's coming. It's a measuring stick. It's a checking up time. It's making sure that all the word has been placed to where it belongs. Hey, man, you know, it's just like I ain't never rode an airplane, but if I was going to ride on an airplane, I'd want to make sure that they had everything intact when I got out there on the runway. In the natural. I would be asking her, did you make sure them lug nuts was tight on them tires? Did you make sure that landing gear is going to fold up and unfold back down when we need it? Did you make sure them engines started and there ain't nothing wrong with them? It would be that it is a fear of that plane falling or crashing, and the natural would cause that anxiety, that seriousness to look and to press and to make sure. How much more when we see we're dealing with our very eternal life and what God has got prepared for those, and we know what's waiting for those that do not obey him, and how that ought to put such a seriousness in our heart in this hour when we can see what God has done and God has backed up every word, everything he's ever said has been vindicated and taken place exactly. What a seriousness that ought to place into our hearts to make sure and to look and not just be satisfied. Well, I know I ain't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's okay. I'll just keep going to church. That's fine, keep coming to church, but there must be something down in our hearts. If we know we don't have it and we know we must have it, then there ought to be a cry, something working in our hearts. Lord, I need to get to that. Oh, maybe we don't have just altar calls all the time. Maybe we don't have that, but there should be a desire in the heart of the individual when you can feel that pulling and moving in your heart. You don't wait on no one else. You move to God when God draws you. And it may go for a lot of things. It might be song service. It might be feeling led to go pray for someone. When God moves you, you get up and move. You don't wait for the whole crowd to go. You go as an individual. God is working with individuals in this day. Amen. Maybe your brother or sister sitting beside you doesn't have the desire, the draw from God to really be all that he wants. But maybe God's pulling you a different direction. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's many, many things that God does, but he needs hands and he needs eyes and mouths to speak. But oh, we must be willing and in the Spirit ready to do his bidding. But oh, we know he's coming. Amen. This is in the message, the token preached March 8, 64, paragraph 8. He says, now it's a type today shown as we're facing another Exodus. God bringing Israel out of Egypt to the promised land was a type of Christ bringing the bride out of the church to the promised land. We're in another Exodus. And if you'll study the scripture, we just have time to hit the high spots. That's true. As God brought a nation out of a nation, God will bring that bride out of a church. That bride will be called out from all the churches. It'll be the elected of God will be brought out. And we're on the verge of that Exodus right now, for we have every scriptural proof that we're standing there. And I know there's been said a lot of times, but my friend, one time it'll be said for the last time, time will fade into eternity. And he's coming to take a bride out of a church. And the token was the thing that made the difference between Egypt and Israel, the two nations. They were all human beings. But all God created, all the handiwork of God, but the difference was the death penalty that he passed. The difference between life and death was the token. And so will it be at the coming of the Son of God when he brings that bride out of the church. The difference will be the token. You listen close this afternoon and see if that isn't true. The token will be the difference. There has got to be a difference. And as we face this hour, saints, we all know wonderful people, good people, people that follow this message, people that claim to love the Lord. But God is looking for a people that's got a token on display. There's a difference in their life. It's not just them. They can't do it on themselves. But God predestinated a people, as we read, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And they were predestinated to bear forth his image. And to be inherit all that he has got for us. Here in the message, we've read this before, but I just wanted to read this again. As this was in the... Amen. Sometimes I believe it's Revelation chapter 4, and it was preached December the 3rd of 1960. And this is paragraph 72. And this is where Brother Branham would kind of type that about the little lady that the gentleman had promised her he was going to marry her. And just listen to some of the things he says as he goes through this. I know he said this many different places, but he said he walked up to her and said, "Don't be afraid of me." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I come out here for one purpose. I come out here to find a wife." Said, "I've been looking everywhere." And said, "I didn't want to marry any of the girls back there in the city. I want to get what I thought was a real wife." And said, "Of all that I've seen, I've been noticing you around here. And I found out through some of the hands that you're a cousin." And said, "That's right, sir." Said, "I want to ask you something. Will you marry me?" Well, she didn't know what to do. She was so beset. She didn't know how to answer the man. And oh, I just about imagine how she felt, don't you, when me, a sinner once, no good for nothing, a drunkard's child, Jesus Christ said, "I want you for mine." And how can we each one remember that day when we realized that God had something for us? He said, "I want you for mine." How could he ever come to somebody like me? How could he ever say, "I'll give you a home in heaven"? How could he ever say, "I'll save you, such a wretch as me"? How could it ever be? But he did it. And she said, "Sir, I'm not worthy. I couldn't make a wife to a man like you," said, "because you're used to great things and I know nothing about them. I'm poor." He said, "But you're my choice." And wasn't it nice when Jesus told you that? You know you wasn't worthy to be a Christian. There wasn't nothing you could ever do. It's nothing he just chose, you see. It's his goodness, it's his mercy that he chose you. You didn't choose him. You know he chose you, that's right. And I want you to think about that. Any place along your life that God has led you, maybe he led you from a denomination to another church, you didn't do that because you saw the difference in yourself.
But God showed you the difference. And he led you to that. And maybe he called you out of a church over here and brought you another step farther. God led us from here to there. God showed us what we were missing. We didn't truly understand, but God was leading us and pointing it out. And we could not do it in ourselves, but it took God to do it for us. But I want you to think about his love to us. And maybe you've never been to church. Maybe you've just started coming or you're going to start going to church. God knows if he's leading you, you follow him, he'll pull you because he said, I have chosen you, you haven't chosen me. Amen. Oh, he'll lead us, saints. If there's something in you drawing, he'll pull you. He said, don't look at your clothes. I don't look at your clothes. Look at what you are. He said, will you marry me? And finally the agreement was made. And he said, 1 year from this day, I'll return you. Be ready. Have the wedding garment on, for I'll return and marry you right here on these grounds. And I'll take you to Chicago to Outer Drive. And there, well, you'll have a castle to live in. And all this dishwashing will be over and things then. And when the sisters or the cousins heard about that, they said, you poor little ignorant fool. Well, you know that man didn't mean that. And isn't that just exactly what they say today? How could a bunch of holy rollers, a bunch of people that can hardly write their own name, how would they ever be the church? How would a group like that ever be? But that's all right. We got engaged and felt the betrothal kiss of Jesus Christ on our heart to take away our sins. Something tells us that he's coming back again just as sure as the world. And someday he'll come back. It don't matter if you're only the one. It don't matter if you're the only one that dresses like a Christian, holy and modest. It doesn't matter if you're the only one that won't partake in some of the things they want to do. It doesn't matter as long as you felt that kiss and know he said he's coming after you. All year she worked slaving and saving her little 75 cents, what they gave her here for her wages a day, and she was saving up her money, buying her a wedding gown to make everything ready. Oh, that was all of her thoughts, making ready. She had made herself ready. She got her clothes and her wedding clothes, and while her cousins laughed at her and made fun of her. And finally it come to the day she dressed herself in her wedding garment, got all ready and cleaned up, and her little cousins come around and bowed by her and said, well, you silly little thing. Well, you know he didn't mean that. He wouldn't marry a girl like you, but she made herself ready anyhow. Amen. And as it come along late in the evening, they began to mock and make fun of her. And she stood right at the door waiting anyhow. She said, what time did he say he'd be here? And as we reach into this late hour, you sisters can come to the instruments. And we see that going on. Oh, you're fanatics with this message. You've went too far. That's not necessary. Look at us. We're having healing campaigns. Look at us. We're having mighty people speaking in tongues. Look at all this taking place over here. And you're just sitting over there listening about getting ready and keeping your garments clean and spotless. Oh, what a day. Oh, he's coming. And he's that much closer, saints. So it's come along late evening. They begin to mock and make fun of her. She stood right at the door waiting anyhow. What time did he say he'd be here? He didn't say, but she told me night and day, the night that he'd marry me or give me the engagement ring, he told me it would be about 1 year from now. And therefore, I've got an hour left. Amen. Just kept waiting. I got 1 hour left, 30 minutes, 10 minutes. And they laughed and made fun of her and called her everything. Think about, as a type, think about Noah. They mocked him and they laughed at him. All the ways, the door was shut, and he's sitting in the ark, and they were still outside laughing, probably throwing rocks, bouncing it off the boat, making fun of him, you old coot. Look at you in there. But look at him. He says, but finally, right at that crucial hour, they heard that sand turning under the wheels, and the horses coming. What a thing it was, that little bride made herself ready. Jump out the door, and around through those rose-colored trellises out there to fly into the arms of the man that she loved. To be her husband, to pick her up like that and be married and right away. And some of these days, brother, those who are making fun saying Holy Roller and Pentecostal and things like that, we're waiting. We still got a little time. There's no difference what there ever was. Don't worry, we got a little time left. And at that moment, he promised he'll be here. And some of these days, we'll take flight and go away. Just be ready and keep that wedding garment on and keep all cruelty out of your heart. Amen. And may we make ourselves ready. Be content with where God's placed us. Keep pulling on God. God's got a work that he's trying to get finished. And he's trying to get a people in tune with where he's doing. God will take care of all things. And he'll place you right where we need to be at the right time. But oh my, may we truly be waiting and watching and looking. Don't get distracted with all this taking up place around us. We know Satan's going to raise up things to distract. We know that we're going to see things probably start to take place that we haven't seen in a long time. It's going to happen. Satan's going to do all he can right at the last few moments of time to make you doubt that you've got what you said you had. But these signs shall follow them that believe. Not only will there be signs, but the life will be ahead of the sign, living through that person, vindicating and manifesting forth. And I pray, Lord, let me be one of them. Keep watching, saints. Keep attentive. God's leading us. How we should be thankful. You know, you never lift our brother up, but I thank God that we've got a pastor that does what God lays on his heart to do. You know how easy it would be for a man, for our pastor to come in here and pick a whole nother subject and have us all on our feet jumping and clapping and saying, amen, brother, I'm so glad to hear that I was in the thoughts of God and I'm so glad. That's all wonderful. But God is trying to prepare a people. And that's the things that it takes, the shaping. If you know, you take a molder, the gentleman that did the little cross there. What if he had just picked up his hammer and sat down in his chair and said, I want you to turn into a cross out there. But he never took the first blow. He never stuck it in the fire. But God knows when we need to be stuck in the fire. He knows when we need a little rain. He knows when we need a little push over here, a little shove, a little tug. He knows how to shape us. And it's not the man. The man's just doing what God lays upon his heart to do. But the Holy Spirit teaches and leads and guides and teaches all things. And oh, if we'll sit attentively and with our hearts open, oh, maybe something we've really needed for a long time that we thought we had may come across the pulpit and strike our hearts in a new way and bring a whole new meaning to our life. But oh, if we've got to be open and willing to let God lead us and guide us. Not be a people that I know this message. Everybody knows this message. Everybody can quote this message. Everybody can talk about it and read it to you and pull it up on their phone. They can give it to you, but they can't show you a life that it was to produce. That token that was to be displayed. That's what we each and every one want to make sure is shining forth in our lives every day. Shining out that God would be glorified. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Pray there was something we could each grab a little nugget from, something to strengthen us. But oh my, I'm getting ready to leave this world, saints. Oh my. Let's sing that little chorus as our brother comes. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl, watching both day and night. Keeping my record right, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. Watching the midnight, keeping my record right, I'm getting ready to leave this. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for those gates of pearl. Watching both day and night, keeping my record right. I'm getting ready to leave this world. You getting ready? Amen. I am by His grace and mercy. Amen. Do you enjoy that? It's really good. Amen. So thankful for the word of God. May we take and hearken to every word that proceeds from God's precious word. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for your mercy and grace in our lives and how we appreciate you. What a wonderful time we live in, Lord. Glorious time. Lord, how we want to go home. Homesick for heaven, Lord. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. How our hearts long for that day, Lord Jesus, when we lay down all these things in this life and, Lord, take on something different, so special, and
been with you throughout eternity. But Lord, until we come to that time, help us to stay in the battle, Lord, and to keep the armor on and stay strong. Lord Jesus, knowing we're walking with the one that has won every victory and shall always continue to win every battle. We appreciate you, Lord. And Lord, we don't want to forget a couple special requests, Lord. A couple things, Lord, of our precious Mike, Lord, with the Mike as he goes in surgeon warning. We ask, Lord, that you'll again bless him and guide the surgeon's hand, and Lord Jesus, and bless his life, O God, and your glory, and Father, that you would get the glory in all things, as he said to us yesterday, Lord, when he gets back, he's got a wonderful testimony. May you bless him. Lord, we see your great mercy and grace, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. And Lord, Sister Pitts, Lord, it's her being a mother and her son, Lord, she still requests prayer for him. Lord, you know what he's been through and all the struggles, and I guess he's going through a lot of pain right now. But Lord, you're the great physician. We ask that you would touch him. Bless him. May he glorify you, Lord. And may you touch his life. Father, somewhere you'll get the glory through it all. We ask that you would do it for us. If you'd be so kind and gentle and hear our prayers, may you bless him. I pray, Lord, for everyone who is here. You'll strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, help us to press in the battle. And Lord Jesus, to surrender to you is a little song my brother has to sing. If we could only learn to surrender more to you, Lord, and humble ourselves down, oh God, what work you could do. So we appreciate you now, and thankful that you made it possible we could be here. We just love you with all our heart, Lord. And I love these people. May you ever be with them. Meet every need for them. May you ever always feed them precious truth, O God. And may they never listen to any man's ideas. Oh, Lord, may they never misinterpret your word. May they never misplace it. May they never dislocate it. But, Lord Jesus, keep it just the way you said it would be. And we only know that by your grace and mercy that will happen in our lives. So we appreciate you now, Lord, this day. So thankful for everything. And thank you for being with us today. We are appreciative of that. Nothing like your sweet presence, Lord. But I still long for that day. That you'll wipe all our tears away. And say, cry no more. It's the altar. Lord, I know these people don't understand. I know they don't know. But Lord, just remind them when they're going through the day that they ain't got nothing to pray about, to pray for me, Lord. Just remind them of that. Because I need all that you can give me, Lord. There's a great responsibility right now. blood purchased to make it in. And help us, Lord, to listen to this still small voice so many times has led us and guided us. May we never miss it, Lord, and you can guide us through your word and give us the things we have in need of and get us ready for a rapture. So bless now, Lord. And again, Lord, maybe one more thing, if you don't care, Lord. If you just touch Sister Leffler, Lord, and Brother Leffler. God, just touch their life. They want to be here, Lord. Terrible thing to get old and bodies begin to fail. But you know the hearts. You're a miracle-working God. So we ask, Lord, that you'd touch them, Lord Jesus. Bless us now. Your holy name, most glorious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Forgive me for being such a baby. Amen. Sing, once you sit down, we'll sing another little song. It's on my heart. Amen. Turn our minds back to what the prophet said when he was going to sing this song one time. I mentioned it before, and you probably read where Brother Branham had talked about it and so forth. But little Charles Wesley, little minister, humble little minister for the Lord, had a little shack down on the seaside. And he'd go there oftentimes and to study and to pray and to wait on the Lord for something to give to the people. And he walked out of the little shack one day and he started walking down the seashore. And inspiration would come and go many times, the prophet said, as he began to walk down through there. And as he began to meditate and walking one day, and he just kept walking and got further away and further away, and he looked back, and his little shack was a long ways away from where he was at. And Brother Branham talked about it, and he said, so all of a sudden a storm moved up real quick. And you've probably seen it happen at times, but sometimes next to the sea it does it really quick. It'll move up real fast. And as he seen what was going to take place, he began to think, well, you better go back to the little shack. And the wind started blowing, and very strong, forcibly, and hitting him in the face. And he began to wrap his coat around him, and he began to run for the shack. And the storm was becoming intense, stronger and stronger. And then while he was running to the shack, yet a long ways off, he felt something hit him in the chest. He looked down, he said, it was a little sparrow. So he took this little sparrow as it was pressing against his chest, and he held it close to his bosom. And he continued to run to the shack, as if the little bird was needing something. And he got back to the shack and went inside and waited until the storm passed. And he kept holding that little sparrow close to his chest, you know. I could just imagine, you know, how he held it and maybe patted it on the head. He told him everything would be all right.
Then finally, the storm passed. And he seen it was passed by and goes back outside and he's still holding the little sparrow. He walked outside and the sun started to shine again. The storm was over. Brother Bram said, at that time when the storm was over, and he put the little bird, little sparrow, upon his finger. The little sparrow flew away. And he said, the inspiration come to Charles Wesley. And the song was born, Rock of Ages. Sing it with me on page 33. Rock of ages, cleft for me.
Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and keep you in his mercy and grace. Amen. You're dismissed. We know service Thursday night. May God bless your family together and blessings. May our heart ever be so thankful for what God has given us. Amen. You're dismissed.